Before me, I'm looking at some amazing manuscript with all kinds of pretty colored pencil markings, and I would love for you to tell us about it.
Well, this is one of the first big concerti that I started learning when I was 9 or 10 years old.
The Max Bruch Violin Concerto in G minor you studied at 9 or 10?
Yeah, around then I started with that. It was an inspirational thing. I heard a recording of Heifetz playing it, and I fell in love with it. And I thought I just had to start playing this. So without permission from my teacher, I started learning it. And it ended up being a Christmas present for my parents.
Oh.
So I wrote them a little card, and I said, hey, I learned this concerto for you guys. And I did it in hiding. I didn't, obviously we lived in the same house. So I had to learn it while they were out. So that was kind of tricky.
Now, was your sister, who's a pianist, a concert musician in her own right, was she accompanying you in hiding?
No, she was not involved in this plot at any stage.
She was only 7 or...
She was 7. She was a little young for that.
So you just fiddled the fiddle part on your own?
Yeah, I loved the recording so much that I just feel like I had to play this. And this is the only time this has happened to me. That I, you know, voluntarily, with no other people saying anything, I've started learning a new piece.
I can only imagine your parents' awe. Perhaps they were weeping.
They were really happy about it.
Yeah.
They've always been so wonderful and encouraging for me. And the fact that I think I was 10 and that I just started learning something behind their back, even, you know, they loved that.
I mean, other little kids may be sneaking cigarettes at that age. Here you're learning the Bruch.
I've never snuck any cigarettes, but I've snuck a Bruch, I guess.
What do you think appealed to you as a young boy?
I don't really know. It's still one of my favorite recordings, and I think it's something with Heifetz and it's something with this piece. It's felt like they were made for each other. It was like Bruch wrote this concerto for Heifetz, or Heifetz was born to play this concerto. And the same with the second concerto that Bruch wrote, which is also amazing and not very often done. That I just loved it so much, I just had to play it.
Now, these little pencil markings, and I have to tell you all, this is a little boy's handwriting I'm looking at.
Yeah, there was a time where I was a little embarrassed, but, you know, now that I'm 30 years old, I thought, you know, I can own up to this. So I brought it to rehearsal today. And I had my teacher was in Germany at the time, and I would fly there every 2 weeks.
When you were a child?
From 10 till 15. And I would fly in the morning, have 3 hours, stay in a hotel, have 3 hour lesson the next morning, and then fly back again. And I did that for 5 years. And to organize this, we videotaped everything, every lesson. And then I watched the videotape when I got back to Norway. And for every lesson, I color-coded that specific lesson. So each color on the page that you see here is from one lesson. So I know which lesson he said what. And there was especially a problem if he said the same thing in two different lessons, then I really knew that something was wrong and I had to fix it. That was the worst thing that could happen if they overlapped.
This colorful document was not just your childhood whimsy.
No, but the funny thing is that, you know, the things you learn when you're a kid, they stay with you forever. So the issues that you can see here and as circled intonation or rhythm, I still have to be aware of those. So even though I learned it when I was 10, I still have to be aware of the problems I had then, because they reappear when you're older.
As a mature man of 30.
Yeah, right.
Now, what is it that you like most about this piece?
I love it has kind of an inner guts to it. There's like a drive behind the music, and it kind of goes throughout the first movement. The second movement is beautiful. It's very lyric, but it also has this kind of drive to it. It has this, I don't know how to explain it, and I can only explain it by playing it, and maybe that's why I love playing it so much. I'm not sure. The last movement also has this guts to it. It wants to go somewhere. It's not angry and it's not aggressive, but it's forward going.
It's that romantic intensity.
Right, but it's not overbearing, so. And it's also very rhythmically strict. The last movement, I would say it's based on a very strict rhythm. And it kind of goes through the whole movement. And just the whole piece always appealed to me, no matter how many times I've heard it.
David, this was a very painful period, the last months of the year. I should say the late summer and early fall were very painful when the musicians were locked out. Do you have a feeling of hope for the orchestra now?
Yes, I do. I've been here for 4.5 years. And during these 4.5 years, I've had 2 lockouts, which must be a record.
You've got to start remembering your keys.
Yes. What brings me hope, and I think brings my colleagues hope, is when we are on stage and we perform great music. It makes us forget what happened. And I think it helps us look to the future. And I really hope that there is a better future for us. And I think there must be a better future for us.
Well, I know there are thousands of fans who feel the same way. And you
thank you. Atlanta is a great city, and every great city should have a great orchestra.
Thank you.
Thank you.